weeks. Acts chapter number 28. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Acts chapter and number 28. If you're visiting with us tonight, we've been in a series now entitled A Turbulent Journey. A Turbulent Journey. And we've been really going in an expository manner through chapters number 27 and 28, just verse by verse. And I know that we have some who have been teaching the kids on Wednesday nights, and you're in here this evening. We're so thankful for you, and we've got a switch, uses our college students back there, and thankful for them. And or if you're visiting with us, don't get in a panic that this is part 9 of this series. You'll jump in tonight at a great time as we're going to close out this series, be jumping into 1 Thessalonians here coming up on Wednesday nights and going through that book. And it's going to be a great series. But tonight, we're going to once again look at this storm that Paul got caught up in, Euroclydon, in chapters number 27. And as Paul is making his way, his final missionary journey here to where he's wanted to go for a long time. He did not get there overnight. It was not easy. It was not just a walk in the park. No, Paul had a very turbulent journey. And we've been applying this to our lives, that we know God is going to come back. If you believe that God is going to come back for you and I, would you say amen? And we ought to believe that. It's in the Word of God. We're looking for that blessed hope. We're going to hear that trump sound. We're going to be called up yonder. And we're looking forward to that day. But it has not happened yet. And we know that in the last days, the dispensational period that you and I live in, this day and age, we know it's going to get turbulent. It's going to be some ups and downs and some backs and forths. And we know it's going to get a little bit rocky. And all the players on the field are set. We're living in the great falling away. We know that even tonight, God could come back. And it's not because we're arguing over vaccines or masks. We know what's taking place over in Israel, and all arms and all weapons pointed at them and what's taking place. We know from Revelation, we know from the book of Isaiah, that we are now living in the final stage. And again, the players are on the field. We're waiting for the trump to sound. But in the meantime, we're getting the gospel out and we're winning as many folks as we can in this last days. But it's going to get a little bit turbulent. So let's learn once again this evening, looking at a turbulent journey. Would you look with me at verse number 16 here in the Word of God? Acts chapter 28, look with me at verse number 16. The Bible says this: "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." This evening, I want to once again look at this passage of Scripture entitled A Turbulent Journey. And through this journey, we have seen, number one, Paul's friends. And then we saw Paul's warning. We saw Paul's wreck. Then we begin to look at Paul's blueprint. And then Paul's gifts over the last 2 weeks that God gave to him to be able to go to this island and to endure this island. And tonight I want us to look at Paul's ending. This evening, Paul's ending. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's written a long time ago. And yet, Lord, it's almost as if it was written yesterday, because it's so applicable for us living today. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us and allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. I ask, Savior, this evening that your message would complete us tonight, that it would fill us, that it would not return void, that, Father, you'd have your will and that you'd have your way in our lives. Father, I ask, Savior, as we pray often, that you'd help us to put off the worries of yesterday and the concerns of tomorrow and the heavy thoughts that are on our minds right now. Help us to take a deep breath and to just enjoy you tonight. We need you, Father. We need your renewal, your rejuvenation, your encouragement, your conviction. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. Hide me behind the cross, Father, that we'd be speaking of you as we walk out these back doors. Father, may we be more like you for Marion County, for Hendricks County, for the surrounding area. We love you, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse number 15, if you look at this passage of Scripture, in verse number 15, the Bible says this: "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as at the Iphorium and the three taverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Remember, Paul has just worked this incredible miracle by taking the governor of the island and his father and healing him. And when others saw it, the same people who had just judged him from having this snake bite, from washing up on shore, those who judged him quickly, thinking that, well, he's a murderer, this is why he's being judged, to, wow, he survived a snake bite, he must be a god, and now he has healed this man. And they begin to bring all of their other sick to him, and Paul began to heal them as well, and Paul worked this great miracle, and then Paul is given these gifts and this patience. And then we saw here lastly this persistence that it took in Paul's life to take this incredible journey. But what I love about this last journey, this last leg of this journey that he's on, Paul first of all took the time to thank God. It says here the three taverns, from when Paul saw, he thanked God. This ought to be the mindset of you and I as well. That yes, we're living in difficult days. Yes, we're living in heartache. Yes, we're living with these old bodies that are falling apart. Yes, we're dealing with cancer. Yes, we're dealing with glasses. And yes, we're dealing with hearing aids. And yes, we're dealing with high taxes. And yes, now we're dealing with high gas prices. And everything that comes with living in the culture, in the society that you and I live in. What I love about Paul on this difficult journey is that Paul still took the time to thank God. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But then also the Bible says here in these last three words, it says, "And took courage." He took courage. When you and I are frightened and scared or discouraged, we always have the choice of turning to God for strength and courage. Now listen very carefully. Watch now. I'm not giving a political speech. You know by not by well. I am a pastor. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me say this. In America, over the last 4 years, there was a lot of courage that came from our president. I believe that we felt very safe under President Trump, and I believe that we relied on him heavily, and we begin to hear things like hashtag drain the swamp, and we begin to see a lot of good come out, and a lot of jobs restored to America, and a lot of dependence once again on oil and gas right here in our nation, and all these things are good, and I'm not preaching against it by any means, and just hear my heart, this is not a Republican versus Democrat speech. But I am telling you this, that oftentimes when things are good in America, we take courage, and oftentimes what we take courage in is the military or the government or who fills the White House or how the House and the Senate, how they stack up versus blue versus red. And look, those things are good and great. We accomplished a lot. But friend, let me tell you this. In the day and age that you and I live, in these last times, our courage ought not to just come from our military, and it ought not to come just from low gas prices, or our bills being paid, or low taxes, or reliance strictly on whether it be President Biden or President Trump. Friendly, I say this, in the turbulent times that we live, our courage ought to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, in the end, that is who is going to win. In the end, it's not the Republicans, it's not the Democrats, it's not going to be the loss. My friend, ultimately we know who wins, and that is Jesus when he comes for his bride, when you and I are resurrected out of here, when ultimately all nations, all people are going to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friend, our courage ought to be in that person, and that person is our Savior. How did Paul take courage? Is a snake bit? Is it 14 days at sea? It's a storm called Euroclydon. I mean, good grief, the man has been through it, and yet he took courage. Then we begin in verse number 16 here, and Paul's ending, and we begin to see the explanation of Paul. Look at verse number 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. God's protection was all around Paul, and our God truly protects you and I. That's why I love the verse that says this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't believe you and I on this side of heaven may truly comprehend how much our Abba Father protects you and I. Just as our little kids, they don't realize at this moment how much you and I invest in them, how much we pour into their lives. I know we have college students in here tonight, and Austin and Clay and so many others. And I really believe, Emily, that now you're getting at an age where you begin to leave your high school years behind you and you come into college. And it's at this age where you fully or should fully kind of begin to comprehend just how much parents put into you and I. And you see, honestly, Bryce, it's at this age that you start looking back, especially as you're about to be married, that you start looking back and you start to realize, wow, my parents, they've done a lot for me, and they've poured a lot into my life. And watch this very carefully. At a young age, my kids really do not comprehend how much I am protecting them. They think it's mean that I don't let them just spend all day on YouTube, or they don't comprehend why I'm not allowing them to play Mario Kart all day, or they don't fully comprehend why I just don't let them go out and play in the street. They don't at that age, at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, however old my kids are, they don't understand that, I think I got them all covered, to believe it, honest with you, they don't fully comprehend how much I'm protecting them. But the older they get, they begin to comprehend, wow, mom and dad really had my back. That's why they didn't let me hang out with these friends, or that's why they didn't let me date her or him. That's why they protected me, and that's why they had me in church and in youth group, and that's why they let me and paid for me to go to camp. And I don't know if you realize, but camp has really changed, has it not, Pastor Chris, in the price? I don't know if you realize that, ladies and gentlemen, but the days of going to camp for like $65, it's over. We took out a second mortgage to send our kids to camp this year. But nonetheless, they're going to realize how much we are protecting them. And Brother Eric, our kids don't realize. But, you know, honestly, it's kind of like us. The more that you and I begin to mature in the Lord, you and I begin to see the protection that He has for us. It is a weak, or can I put it this way? It is a Christian who is young in age that doesn't realize how much protection God has. They look at the Word of God and say, my goodness, all these standards and all these things. I can't do this and I can't do this. I can't get drunk and I can't get a divorce and I can't do this. And fill in the blank. Oh, my goodness, all these rules and regulations. But the more that you begin to grow in God, you begin to understand it's not rules. It's not this bully in heaven that's pushing us into the ground. No, God has in place for us these standards or these not preferences. What am I looking for? What's the word? It starts with a P. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where's Carrie? Carrie's not here. Back here this evening. See, that's why I need a wife. It's a standard that is built on a. I know, Carrie, you're watching live stream. Can you text it to me, babe? I need you. Understand? Anyways, forget it. Listen, it is God that has given us this protection that's based on the very Word of God, and that is for you and I. And here, Paul has this protection from God that hasn't been turbulent. Yes. But God is fulfilling in Paul's life exactly what He told him that he was going to do. Is it Paul's preference? No. Is it the journey that Paul desired? No. But yet still, Paul had principles. Thank you, Brother Fulford. I appreciate that so very much. You are the man. That's why he's my head deacon. He's got my back. Understand, it's principles that God has in the Word of God. There's Carrie. Principle, all capital letters. Thank you. No more texting me. I am good. I got it. We got to move on. Verse number 17. And it came to pass, look at verse number 17. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people. Now look, Paul's calling them together. He's there. He's making it, okay? Now he's given him his story. Though I've committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. Now, watch very carefully. Paul spoke absolute truth here. Remember, it's good to remember that Paul was treated very unfairly. What he is speaking here is absolute truth. He's not stretching the truth. He is not lying. He does not deserve to be where he is at. He has been treated very unfairly by the magistrates. He's been treated very unfairly by the Jews. They could find nothing in him. They just kept sending him further and further and further to find that you've got to go see Caesar. And he's been on this over 2 years now, this journey to get where he is at. Now watch very carefully. This is just a good place for you and I to think about verse number 17 and 18. Now look at it. Maybe even highlight it. Because it's good for you and I to remember that just as God protects, at times, yes, it does come in what we would deem or what we would qualify as an unfair manner. This is not fair the way that Paul's being treated. It's not fair that Paul is at where he is at. Is he in God's will? 100% yes. Has the journey been easy? Without a doubt, no. And yet, here's what Paul is saying. I'm giving you my story, and it had to happen the way that I want it to happen. Friend, comprehend this. For you and I, we have to remember, and even instill into our kids, that sometimes, are you ready for this? Life is not fair. It's not fair. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the family, and I'll try not to because I've been putting so much research and time into this series that we're in on Sunday nights, and sometimes it's going to flow into another sermon. But let me just take one quick pause, and we'll get back into it. I believe truly what is hurting our next generation, in a great way, it's not number one, but it definitely is adding to the fuel, is that we are raising a generation, now watch very carefully, that did not grow up underneath a militaristic style of home or family. There are some of you in this very room that you had parents and or grandparents that fought in World War II. Or there's some even in this room that were in Vietnam or Korea. And that family militaristic battleground mind is there. That means this. When we're fighting a war, there are winners and there are losers. And that generation knew that there were winners and there were losers. And sometimes there were wars that we didn't understand. We had to pull out. But there is millennials, Gen Z, generations, and even the generation behind Gen Z that is coming up. And they haven't experienced that. Not only that, now those who are raising the kids are bringing them up in this environment that, look, everybody is on equal ground. Everything has to be fair. Everything has to be even. That's why, again, I'm not going into speeches, but this is why many are trying to get rid of capitalism and bring in socialism. And I'll just be honest with you. I think we would look around the world and figure out really quick, socialism does not work. Now if you don't have to amen there. That's just me. It's not. I'm not taking this from the Word of God. It's just personal, okay? I kind of feel heavily that we're heading in a direction we ought not to be heading in. Nonetheless, we're trying to plant this foundation that everything's good and everything's fair. Now watch very carefully. The sad thing is that it's starting to sneak into our churches, and even Christian parents are now picking this up. That's why nowadays in many schools across our country, they're not going to grade papers in red anymore. They're not going to give F's anymore. Coach Schneider, I mean, you know this. You read these statistics. We want it to be fair again for everybody. We want everybody to get a passing grade. Brother Eric, we raised, and there's even, I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure there's leagues around here where there is no winner or loser. They go out on the soccer field. Is that true? Okay, Amy, you're right. I would say for the heartbeat, that's true. Where you get out there and you just play. Let me just say something, friend. If that's for you and your kids, that's great. I'm not preaching against it. Wonderful. Hoorah. And, you know, great, wonderful. In fact, my son played in a soccer league where they did that. And it was no score. Now, I'll be honest with you. I kept score in my head. And when we got in that car, I let my son know whether we won or lost. Oh, that's child abuse. No, it's teaching our kids that there are winners and losers. And not everything in life, excuse me, friend, is going to be fair. And when we're bringing up a generation of young people, treating them like, oh, we got to go out of our way to make sure all Johnny and Susie, it's fair, it's fair, it's fair, it's fair, it's fair. I'm here to tell you, we are setting up our kids for absolute failure, because I'm here to tell you, friend, is it fair that there's people in this very room, Denny, who have had cancer and I've never had cancer? I've never had cancer. Brother Denny, you don't mind me using it, I've used it as a table. He's had cancer. Well, how is that fair? Friend, it's called life. It's called life. And when we're trying to bring up a generation of grandkids and kids, and they're not even here tonight, so they're not hearing this. The kids that are in here, they are adults. They're high school students they just graduated, or they're college students. They are young adults. You can absolutely, Austin, I treat you as an absolute young adult. You ought to hear this. Listen very carefully. Friend, be careful. Because when we start having this attitude of what's fair and not fair, what begins to happen is we take our eyes off of Matthew 28 and we get our eyes on each other. Then it gets quiet in here. Well, and this has never happened. I'm just using an example. Pastor Chris is my witness. This has, no one's ever told me this. So I'm totally pulling this one out of the hat and I'm just going to go with it. If we get to a place where it's this, Pastor Chris, I am not playing the piano anymore because I didn't get to play on Wednesday night. And I wanted to play on Wednesday night. And it's not fair that so-and-so always gets to play on Wednesday night. They must be your favorite, they must be your favorite piano player. Now, let me ask you, how does that help the cause of Christ? Pastor Poe doesn't. Not at all. Well, how come their kid was asked to? I know why their kid was asked to. Because their last name's Shepherd. And they're the pastor's kid. And to be honest with you, I'm not saying that has happened. Nobody's come to me. Maybe you saw it. Maybe my kid's been bad. Whatever, you come to me and tell me. But listen very carefully. We begin to play this. Well, how come they got to start on the team? How come they got to sing the special? How come he was asked to preach, and especially on a Sunday morning? I've been here for how many years, and how come they were? Look, friend, we start getting our eyes on, well, I've counted, and Brother Steve Beeman is, you know, he's prayed, I know, at least twice in the last 6 months. Friend, I'm here to tell you, that's not godly. It doesn't help the cause of Christ. It tears down the bride. It does not help the local church. It takes our eyes off of what our eyes ought to be on, and that is this lost world, and it puts our eyes on each other. And the sad thing is that we are taking younger Christians, younger adults, younger kids, and we are going to get in the car and begin to complain about a coworker or a boss or a manager or a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a choir member, and how come, and boy, I'm just trying to, it's not fair. Friend, let me just put it this way. Life is not fair. The earlier we learn that, the smoother we're going to sail with our Lord Jesus Christ, because there are things in life we just don't understand why it happened to someone else. I'm here to tell you. Remember that old hymn? Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, the moment that maybe we just get like Paul, we ought to go back to verse number 15. Amen. And just start counting how good God is to us. If this is making sense tonight, say amen. Amen. It's not fair. How come? Paul, why are you here? What's going on? Well, guys, sit down. Let me tell you. Why I'm here, I've done nothing wrong to deserve what I deserve. But look at verse number 19. When the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I ought to accuse my nation of, Paul, now watch very carefully. Don't read ahead. We're going to get there in just a moment, okay? And he's like, oh, we got to keep going. I know what time it is. We're going to get going, and we'll put it in high gear here in just a moment, but not just yet. Now watch. Paul, understand, in his life, he knew what he was. Paul was a Jew. And you would think that it would be the Jews that would be for Paul. And yet it was not. Even Paul wrote, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and its depart unto Thessalonica, Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Paul was a Jew. He was trying to reach them. This is what we would think would be the very people that would be for him. But no, to be honest with you, this was going to be his greatest enemy. This was going to be part of that thorn in the side. This was going to be those that would go town to town before him, telling others, hey, don't listen to this guy. He's going to come to this Fruit Loop in here. He's going to talk about this Jesus, but Jesus is already dead. He's been dead for some years now. Just don't listen to this man. I mean, look, they were totally against him. And you know what? You say, Pastor, how is that applicable to you and I? I mean, really, I mean, how does that apply to us? Because, friend, I'm here to tell you this evening. In life, you and I are not always going to be helped by those maybe who we think ought to be helping. In fact, some of the deepest criticism you may get may come from another Christian. Some of the greatest heartache that you may face may come from another Christian. There's not always going to be those that are for you and helping you and surrounding you and encouraging you. There are going to be those times that a Facebook message insinuates something that you know is towards you, and it hurts from a brother or sister in Christ. It hurts from maybe a sibling. It hurts from someone maybe that you work with or somebody at college. You know that they ought to be there. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet it's the jealousy or the mixed priorities or the mean spirit or the bad attitude or the standards of preference that really, if we're not careful, they begin to sneak in a church, and it will hurt the church if you and I are not careful. Therefore, listen very carefully and watch, and I'll move on here. We know that great things are happening at Cross Point Baptist Church. If you like seeing people get baptized, say amen. If you're a Christian, all of us ought to be saying amen to that. Young people getting baptized and folks getting their lives right and our numbers coming back to pre-COVID type of numbers and local church coming together and the fellowship and just the great spirit. And boy, God is just doing a great work here. Now watch very carefully. You can mark it down anytime Christ is doing a great work. Mark it down. Satan also is going to be very, very busy. And remember, he's not impressed with our past accomplishments. He will keep coming back. He will keep after you and I. He will keep trying to destroy what is going on here. Friend, let me put it this way. Brother Earl, you know this, been in church a long time. It's not going to happen from outside these walls. You know very well how he is going to disrupt. Satan is going to be in this very room. Yeah. That's what we do. Well, we gear up. We're going into battle. We put on the whole armor of God. We get ready. Take heed. Excuse me, friend. Take heed lest you fall. We look at ourselves and we look at what God's doing and we say this, Lord, I never want to disrupt what is going on. I never want to be the cause of someone to stumble. I never want to be the cause of someone not to come back to church. I never want to be the cause of gossip or the cause of bitterness or the cause of pain or the cause of sin. God, whatever it is that you're doing here, I want it to continue. So God, show me, make real in my life if there's something that I need to change or something that I need to do. Why? Because what Paul begins to say here is this. Look, guys, to be honest with you, I'm a Jew, and they couldn't find any fault in me, yet it was the Jews that sent me to where I am. Look at verse number 20. For this cause, therefore, I've called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Paul once again uses the strongest wording here. Look at verse number 20. Look at it carefully. He says this, the hope of Israel. The messianic hope ever burned brightly in the Hebrew heart. Paul's great message to the Jews was that the Messiah had come and that all over the world, Jews and Gentiles could be saved. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ did not undermine the Jewish faith. It enhanced it. It glorified it. Watch very carefully. It fulfilled it. Paul was one of the Messiah's ambassadors. But what I love here is that Paul begins to speak and look, I've come to you and I speak to you and I am bound, look at this, with this chain. Chain or no chains, Paul was not going to stop until the Lord called him home. Wasn't going to stop. Now friend, what I'm about to say is not to be against anybody or anything, but I'm just, as your pastor, let me share my heart for just a moment. COVID has changed some things. Whether we want to admit it or not, it changed our country. It's changed our local churches. It's changed minds. It's amazing Christian versus Christian over the most just really silly things. We've just seen it. The wars that started. I mean, I believe it really separated those who were serious about church and those who were playing church. Now, look, our country has changed. Now, watch. But the gospel has not. We're commissioned with the gospel. The day and age that many of us grew up in a Christian home, many of us, Steve, you remember the days. We gather on a Saturday morning. Here we go. We're going to have prayer. Here's your donuts. Everybody, let's head out. Here's your map. 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 Pastor Bo, I'm sure y'all used to do this. And we go out. We take our maps. We take our tracks. 100 doors, whatever it is. We're going to knock on the door. Here we are. Hey, from Cross Point Baptist Church. Just want to invite you to church today. You have a church home. You're like, oh, you don't. Well, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk to people right there. Can I just be honest with you? Those days, especially post-COVID, have really, really changed. They just have. Most of us, or a lot of us, have Ring doorbells. You know what a Ring doorbell is? A Ring doorbell is to keep away anyone except for your family or the people you want there. You ring the doorbell, down, 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 and the thing goes off. Yeah, you know it. I've got it. And what do? We look at our app, and, oh, we don't know them. You know, come back later. Or don't come back. That's it. That's it, Pastor Dan. We're done. That's it. Lord, come back. We can't reach this town anymore. It's just over. No. The gospel hasn't changed. The gift in the package has changed. But maybe the package has changed a little bit. How we hand it out or how we give it. The gift on the inside is still the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and it's saved. Whosoever will may come. Understand, it's still knocking at the heart's door. And yet the way that you and I hand it out, it may look different. But friend, we still have a job to do. Well, these waters, I'm telling you, it's the ecumenical movement, isn't it? We're putting water bottles out. Nope. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're trying to get in people's hands. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. Paul said, I am bound. Does that mean Paul's, well, I'm bound. Oh, man, I've been on a crazy ship and wrecked and stupid snake and healed some people. And, yeah, I'm here now. What do you want me to do? Nope. It doesn't matter if I'm bound. It doesn't matter if I'm chained. I am bound to give you the gospel. And that's what Paul began to do. Look at verse number 21. They said unto him, now check this out. Paul, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came and showed or spake any harm of thee, verse number 22, but we desire, don't you love that word? But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Can you imagine Paul's heart here? How gratifying it must have been to Paul. Can you imagine how awesome he must have felt that no prior religion, no bad mouthing, no talking about Paul, nothing. Look, they just said, oh man, we haven't received any letters. We haven't received, go ahead and tell us, yo, what do you got to say? Now, friend, listen very carefully. In an area like Indianapolis, there's churches everywhere. They're everywhere. I mean, I really thought it was just the Bible Belt. I grew up, born in Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina. There's churches everywhere. I tell you, it's true up in this area. Pastor Bo, there are churches all over the area here. Let me tell you this. There's a lot of hurt people in this area. How many people do you talk to? It's happened to me several times already. Well, I used to go to church, but, you know, so-and-so, I was hurt and I was talked about, or they made an example of me, or I did this, or, you know, there's a lot of hurt people. Go after them. Plant the seed. Share God's love. I'm not here to, look, I can't forgive you, and I can't, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Look, He forgives. Time to move on. Help. But if you ever come across someone in this area that's just like these Jews, well, I've never heard the gospel message before. Make time and don't walk away. If you've got them on, you just keep planting the seed. You just, Paul's like his hair and say, well, to be honest with you boys, I'm pretty tired. Come on a long trip now. I think I'll take it easy. Oh no, Paul had somebody and they're willing to listen. Paul is going to dive in. Look at verse number 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many of him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, talking about Paul, and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from, check out the wording here, morning till evening. Word got out, Paul's beginning to be treated kind of like a celebrity now. They're packing in. They want to hear him. They want to see exactly what's going on. This passage here in verse number 23 is so specific. Testifying the kingdom of God, talking about Jesus, the law of Moses and the prophets. These are things that they are very familiar with. Paul begins to break it down. That's how salvation is. You say, Pastor Shepherd, what is it that from this verse that we can take out and we can apply to? That means this. Every situation is going to be different. Every person that he met on his way was very different. The people that he began to speak with. Now, I'm trying to rush here because I know it's 7:58, but don't get in a panic with me. I don't know how long the college students are supposed to go. Do you even know, Pastor Chris? Like, Pastor Dan? Nobody knows. We don't know what we're doing here. We just let them go. They're kids. They're going to be fine. Understand, watch, when you come across somebody, there are people that are going to be very different. It's going to be different. What is it that you do in your life? What do you do for a living? You teach. What do you do for a living? Retired. Yes, praise the Lord. We're working towards that. Retired. What do you do, brother? Accounting. Well, let's go back here. Brother Mel. Retired. What's all these retired people? Yeah, but sorry. You said what? Retail. I thought you said retired. I'm like, now what did you do, brother? Because that's what I want to be in. Let's talk about retail. Understand, we've got a lot of different people in this very room that do a lot of different things. The lost world is the same. Not all of them are going to handle the Word of God the exact same way. So what do we have to do? We have to explain it to them, whether it's a person who's been religious for a long time. Maybe it's a Catholic that they've been in and they know Mary, they know their sacraments, and you've got to approach it in a way to get at their heart and to break down the idols. A Mormon who takes the Word of God and twists it and takes it out of context, and you've got to get them back to the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of truth. Or maybe it's a teenager that's just rebellious and is away from God, maybe pregnant out of wedlock, and you're showing that young girl the mercy and the love of God. Maybe it's a drunkard that has never heard and doesn't understand or comprehend why he lost his family or is about to lose his family. And so you begin to share with him that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered that sin. Or maybe it's a gay and it's a lesbian person. As yesterday started Gay Pride Month. And maybe it's meeting one of them and they've got the rainbow on. And hey, it's just opening up a conversation. Hey, that's pretty neat. You believe in the rainbow? What does that say for? Oh, it's for my gay pride. That's awesome. Hey, listen, let me tell you about the rainbow that I believe in. It came out of Genesis when God destroyed the earth and he said, promised that he would never destroy the earth again. And he put a rainbow in the sky and it's a beautiful rainbow. And you know what that showed me there? To be honest with you, I got to go, hold on one second. I got to finish this. The rainbow shows me that God is a God of love and mercy and he's a just God. But to be honest with you, there is a judgment coming very soon. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to hear about the judgment. No, just wait just 1 minute because I got to tell you, you don't have time. Come to Cross Point. Excuse me. Do you see what we're doing here? What Paul begins to do is begin to break down the gospel and begins to take their background and begins to use it and usher in the gospel. Now I've got to hurry, so look at this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 24. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. We know that the first five verses of Matthew gives us the parable of the sower. There are going to be those that accept it and those that do not. Look at verse number 25. And when they agree not amongst themselves. Now remember, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is actively fighting here. And when they agreed, verse number 25, look at it with me, not amongst themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet of our fathers, verse number 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. Now look very carefully. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, that they should be converted and I should heal them. Now watch very carefully. I'm going to be done. I promise you this. Listen now. Paul speaks the word of God here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 9 and 10. This prophecy is found some seven times in the word of God. Now listen, it's not that the Bible says that some believe not. So Paul has this spur of a moment reaction and he's mad, he's angered. No, he's not speaking this in anger. He is speaking this in truth. Now friend, we are a people of love. We ought to be a people of forgiveness. We're a people of peace. Why? Because we have God. But friend, in the day and age we live, we cannot back down. You believe in heaven? Say amen. Then do you believe in hell? Say amen. Hell's a real place. And it's awful. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to end up there one day. Because we never did our part in sharing with them how great heaven is, but also how horrible hell is. The truth of the gospel has not changed. God, yes, the Bible says, is a great God. If you believe that, say amen. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible also says He is a terrible God. Reject His Son and figure out how terrible He is. I know we don't like to talk about hell. It's honestly probably one of the hardest subjects to preach on. Is the subject of hell. Pastor, you know that over and over. Anytime I preach on hell, it just happens. Satan fights. This is no joke, Brother Beeman. Every time I preach on hell, a phone will go off or a baby will cry. We had a person faint up front. I think the last time, no joke, I was preaching on hell. Very serious moment. A cell phone goes off and could not get it turned off. They had to walk out the back. Satan fights. Why? He does not want people to hear of a place called hell. But what Paul was saying here is, listen, He is a great God, but He's also a terrible God. And you shut your ears, you shut your mouth towards Him. Judgment is going to come. And in the day and age we live, with the ecumenical movement, with the compromising that we're seeing in the house of God, with the compromising of pastors that we're seeing behind the pulpits, we have men that are getting up. They might open up and maybe they got a lot of good things to say and they've got a good pep talk and boy, they make you feel good, you know. Oh, it's just wonderful. Life is just daisies. And give your life to Him, you'll never have any trouble. Friend, I'm here to tell you, we have to get back to the gospel, which says that yes, God is a great God, but there is a judgment coming one day. And if you do not receive Him as your personal Savior, there is a place called hell and you will spend eternity there in a lake of fire. It was created for the devil and his angels. Friend, yes, God is a God of love, but just watch. Listen to those who have rejected His name. Friend, we cannot back down. We cannot back down. I don't think we talk about the awfulness of hell enough. Well, Pastor, that's old time. That's what old time boys, that's what they do. Get behind the pulpit, scare you to death. Friend, let me just tell you, hell is scary. If you believe that, say amen. A lot of our kids get saved. It's not that they completely understand everything about atonement. It's not that they can name and describe it. It's a lot of five-year-olds that get saved because they know God is a God of love and they don't want to spend an eternity in a place called hell and they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen to this explanation of the gospel and I'll be done. Look at verse number 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. See this transition as Luke is writing here? From now on, the Gentiles would have the priority in receiving the gospel. And unlike the Jews, they would flock to salvation by the millions. And when he had said these words, verse number 29, the Jews departed and had great reasoning amongst themselves. And Paul dwelt, check it out now, 2 whole years in their own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Paul didn't have the freedom to go where he wanted, but he was allowed to have company. He was kind of on house arrest. Look at verse number 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Don't you love Paul's ending? Paul just preaching and teaching Christ. Paul just carrying on. Paul just rolling on. Friend, I know there's many that sit up here and maybe our cameras can follow us for just a second. But you know, in the day in which we live, I know if you have to look back here, that's fine. But Pastor, would you stand up here just for a minute? Just if you could. Now understand, I don't know how many years we have rehearsed this, but you pastored for a long, long time. Yeah. Been married for a long time. Raised a lot of good kids. I'd say without a doubt in the fourth quarter of your life, wouldn't you say? I mean, the Lord's coming back, but you're probably in the fourth quarter, third, probably overtime, fifth, okay. Double overtime here. You know what I love about this man? He ain't giving up. He doesn't stand behind a pulpit every week like he used to. He may not even have the energy of Pastor Shepherd like you used to. But this probably never did. You did. We have energy drinks. You didn't have those back then. No, I'm just talking. Understand that this man is still leading people to the Lord. As hardly a week goes by that he doesn't come in. I talked to this man just this past week. You have to ask him the testimony. You've got to ask him. Literally, he walks into a bank. They know him because he's been their missionary for so long. Literally, you can tell the story later. We don't have time, but they came and said, "Hey, all the tellers, everybody come out, managers, we're going to have pastors say a word of prayer for us." And yet, look, I mean, they basically shut the bank down so he could pray with them. Led 2 or 3 to the Lord. And an amazing story. I'm going to have you give that testimony here soon. You just ask him. You know what this is? This is Paul. This is verse number 31. Paul sitting there for another 2 years. After the 2 years. After the snake bite. After Euryclon. And Paul did not give up. Do you know what this generation needs? Verse number 31 Christians. He's not battling me over, well, I don't like the paint color, and to be honest with you, I don't like that you wear the mic that goes up here, and bless God, we used to hold our mic. He's not, you know what he's doing? He is showing me that there is more to preferences in life, and it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man is living out his days. For who? Not for himself, not for his wife, but for his Abba Father. And friend, may that be us. Paul's ending was not, well, it's it, it's over, we're done. No, Paul's ending was, let's keep going. Let's keep sharing. Let's keep fighting. We got a big job to do. Cross Point, thank you, preacher. Cross Point, may that be our testimony. It's not over. Well, Corona ruined. It's not over. Well, President Biden, you see his speech? It's not over. Well, did you hear the trump sound today? Nope. It's not over. Gear up. Put on your armor. We got a big job to do. Might get a little wavy. Might get a little turbulent. We might get some seasick. Might be 2 weeks at sea. Probably some snake bites. But you know what? Cancer may come. Bills may come. Presidents will come and go. But our Lord and Savior, He's still seated on the throne. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Oh, with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. A turbulent journey. Paul's ending. How did it end, Paul? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence.